The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Part 2.
To be honest, I had my fill of Native Americans when we had to go back in time for you, Jim told Mercedes. She stood in front of his desk with a notepad in her hands.
That was a long time ago, she replied. And this time they're paying customers.
I know. Of course we'll help them out if they've got a problem.
Did they say what it was about?
No, but a man called Richard Ruano would like to speak to you in person. He said he represents the Muekma Ohlone.
Okay, well, tell him fine. Come in this afternoon. Andrew's busy, but I'll be glad to talk to him.
All right. I'll pencil him in for 1 o'clock then.
Mercedes smiled.
How are you today, by the way?
I'm good. Why do you ask?
Because it's the first night you slept alone since Rhea and I went back home?
Ah, it's nice of you to ask, but really, that's not something you need to...
Of course it is! It was fun bunking up here, but you said it yourself. After the spirits did their border control thing, we're safe enough. There was no reason for us all to live here.
No, I guess not, Jim said.
And some of us need our space. At least I do. And Rhea too, I think. You don't just move in with someone right away. You date for a while, sleep over, that sort of thing.
I know, Jim sighed.
Then why do you look like someone stepped on your favorite puppy? Cheer up. She'll come back tonight, I'm sure.
No, actually, she won't. She went on a trip to see her mom. She'll be back in a few days, though.
Okay, so a few days. There are still phones, you know. You can talk and text. It's not like it's Romeo and Juliet being apart.
Thank you, Mercedes. I think I got the message. Go call Mr. Ruano and tell him to come. And leave me alone.
Mercedes grinned.
Fine, fine. Be like that, sourpuss.
She left the office and shut the door behind her.
Jim lit a cigarette. He knew Mercedes was right. Having lived with Rhea so close for 4 days had been a good feeling, and he was unused to missing someone. He supposed he had to get used to it.
He bent over his desk, looking at his final notes for the Trin case. In the end, Andrew and Mercedes had been the ones to go talk to Susan, and according to them, she had taken it surprisingly well. They had been a bit selective about what sort of things to tell her, but had settled on the major points: that a spirit had attacked her son, that the spirit was being dealt with, and that her son was in a place where he was cared for. Jim had told them not to demand payment from Susan, as they hadn't been able to bring her anything verifiable, but she had insisted on paying them anyway. Andrew had told Jim afterward that it would have been rude not to take the money, and Jim supposed he was right. Today, he had sent Andrew and Feline across the bridge to Paradise Cay, where a man had reported something supernatural attacking his boat and dock. He couldn't help but notice how Mercedes seemed to be more cheerful with Feline out of the house. He knew she was still feeling spikes of jealousy and hoped they could reconcile soon. At least the few days of living together had made them make a kind of truce. He did suspect Feline of taking a certain pleasure in teasing Mercedes, though. Jim closed the Trin folder and leaned back in his chair so he could put it in the filing cabinet. It wouldn't be long before they would need another one with the amount of cases they'd been working on recently.
As he got up to open the window, the room was still uncomfortably warm due to the unusual long streak of hot late summer they'd been having. He heard voices in the lobby. He looked at his watch and saw it was only 11:15. A moment later, the intercom buzzed.
"I've got Mr. Ruano out here. He says he knows he's early, but it's a matter of urgency."
Jim opened his door and looked into the lobby, where three men stood in front of Mercedes' desk. They all wore suits, and if Mercedes hadn't said they were Native Americans, Jim wouldn't have guessed. They looked more Latino than Indian, he thought, smiled at them, and reached out his hand.
"Mr. Ruano." "That was fast. Mercedes said you just called a few minutes ago."
The tallest man reached out his hand and shook it.
"We were in the neighborhood, Mr. Corrigan. I'm sorry we're early, but our problem can't wait. Every moment we waste could have very severe consequences."
"I see. Well, come on in, then. Mercedes, do you want to sit in?"
Mercedes picked up her notepad and pen and followed them into the office, leaving the door open a crack so she could still keep an eye on the reception. Ruano sat down in one of the client chairs, while the two others sat down on the couch. Mercedes sat down next to Jim's desk so she could look at them all at the same time.
"This is Sam Nonessa and Juan Armija," Ruano said, pointing to the two other men. "We are all tribal elders of the Muekma Ohlone tribe."
"Nice to meet you all. Can I get you anything to drink before we start?"
Ruano waved his hand as if dismissing the notion.
"There's no time for either pleasantries or chit-chat. Mr. Corrigan, from what we understand, your company helps people in trouble with the supernatural world. We have such a problem. Right now, in this city, there's a little girl who's lost."
"A little girl? Wouldn't you have more luck going to the cops, then?"
"No. The police should be kept out of this as much as possible. The girl is no ordinary girl. She is a talisman. Well, that's actually wrong. She is the talisman."
Jim looked intrigued.
"Okay, well, maybe you should start from the beginning, Mr. Ruano. Even if it takes a bit of time, I think this is a story I'd like to hear."
"Me too," Mercedes said.
Ruano nodded and sighed.
"Yes, of course. Let me start by asking you if you've noticed anything unusual about the weather lately."
"It's been pretty dry all summer," Mercedes said.
"Almost more like South California than North. I read it was due to climate changes."
Jim made a scoffing sound.
"There's no such thing. That's just propaganda."
Mercedes held up her hand.
"Okay, let's not have that discussion again."
Sorry. Jim gestured to Ruano.
"Please, continue."
"You are right. It has been unusually warm and dry for the Bay Area. But even without considering the climate changes, there's something else wrong. The weather isn't always capable of taking care of itself. Various forces fight for control and attempt to make the weather warmer or colder. What we call manitous. I suppose spirits is the best word for them."
Jim and Mercedes looked at each other. Jim chose to keep his own experiences with spirits to himself for the time being.
"There's a balance that needs to be maintained, and the various tribes have always done so. By magical means, I mean."
"So, the Native Americans are responsible for if it rains or not?"
"Cool."
Mercedes wrote a few notes on her pad.
"It's not quite as simple as that, but that's beside the point. This spring, the man who was responsible for the ritual of calling in the rain had an unfortunate accident and died without leaving a successor capable of carrying out the rituals. That is why we've been having no rain for a while."
Jim knew enough about the world's shadow side to not dismiss Ruano right away, even though it sounded like religious nonsense to him.
he reached for his cigarettes, when Mr. Nonessa spoke up.
"Oh, I'd appreciate it if you didn't smoke, Mr. Corrigan. I'm very allergic to tobacco."
Jim put down the pack again, his face now getting a more annoyed look.
"Fine. Go on."
"When we could see that there would indeed be a need for someone to perform the ritual but had none qualified, we sought outside help."
He leaned forward in his chair.
"You see, many years ago, various tribes pooled their resources, so to speak, and created something, a talisman, capable of great things. It's not truly conscious, but possesses a form of rudimentary intelligence. This talisman is not something we like to use lightly, but we all agreed that it was needed for this."
"And that's the little girl?"
"The little girl is, in essence, a vessel for the talisman. Normally, the talisman is intangible and held on, well, forgive me for sounding like I'm telling you a fairy tale, but it's held on another plane of existence."
"Oh, we've heard far worse," Mercedes said.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ruano looked surprised.
"Really? Anyway, when it is needed, it is transferred into a human body, a host. This is usually a child, since a child's mind is more open and easier for the talisman to work through without damaging the personality of its host."
"Damaging the personality? That doesn't sound very safe. How long is this energy in the child?"
"It usually stays there until the child becomes a teenager. At that point, when the mind gets more set, we extract the talisman and find a new host."
"What happens to the child, then?"
Ruano fidgeted with his hands.
"Usually, nothing. We've had a few children over the years have nightmares afterward, but no more than that."
Jim looked straight at the man. His cop instincts were telling him something was off.
"You're lying. What happens?"
Ruano looked uncomfortable.
Sometimes they have had after effects, delusions and such. Getting this kind of power is rather life-changing, and when it's taken away, some have a hard time giving it up, so they make believe they haven't."
"Are you saying they're putting on a Superman costume and jumping from the roof thinking they can fly?"
Mercedes asked.
"They sometimes remain partly connected to the talisman, giving them some odd abilities. We usually make sure they're comfortable and won't hurt themselves or others. Well, that's beside the point. The point is, we had the talisman brought to San Francisco to help us make it rain, but the talisman never made it."
"What do you mean?"
"Two tribal representatives from the Navajo were supposed to bring it up here. They had been selected because she trusted them and because they both possessed certain disciplines that would suppress the power of the talisman so she wouldn't accidentally hurt anyone. This morning, they had an accident downtown, crashing their car. Both of them were unconscious, in critical condition. They were brought to the hospital, but there was no sign of the child."
"So a magic kid is loose in my city?" Jim said. "How old is this kid?"
"She's 5 years old, Mr. Corrigan. She's an orphan from Arizona, chosen for her imagination to host the talisman. She's imbued with an incredible power, and right now she's out there by herself."
What kind of things is it she can do exactly?" Jim said. "I mean, there's not been any report of lightning bolts or fireballs anywhere. I'm pretty sure someone would have noticed.
The three elders looked at each other, and then Nonessa spoke up again. He was younger than the other two and looked like a nervous accountant.
Essentially, the talisman does what's asked of it. That's its power. That means, in plain English, that it can grant wishes. Any kind of wishes. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You're saying that if someone says to her that they'd like to be able to fly, she'll make them fly? Jim said.
Yes, but it doesn't even have to be said to her. If the wish is strong enough, it might be someone she walks past on the street. If you walked around wishing you were dead, and you walked past her...
He held up his hand and tipped it over to illustrate someone falling over.
Bang! You're dead.
How nuts could the wish be? I mean, what if someone wished they'd see an alien invasion, or that they wished the Earth was flat?
Jim licked his lips as he began to realize how dangerous this little girl could be.
We just don't know. But considering how much magic was originally used to create the talisman,
Ruano shrugged,
it could cause substantial destruction. Imagine someone was talking about the 1908 earthquake, and someone said, I wish I could have seen that. Then either she'd send that person back in time or make a new earthquake.
Mercedes finished his sentence.
Scary thought.
Do you have any idea where she might go? Any pictures of her?
Jim said.
We've been able to get a photo of her from the tribe in Tucson.
Ruano handed Jim a photograph, printed on regular printer paper. It showed a dark-haired and olive-skinned girl with a bright and radiant smile, dark eyes filled with both humor and mischief.
And where would she go? Why wasn't she in the car during the accidents? Did her escorts just leave her behind somewhere?
No. We think she either walked away from the accident unharmed and unnoticed, or...
Ruano hesitated.
The other option is that she's able to control the power inside her more than we thought, that she used it to get away. And to be frank, that's the reason we're here. If she can control her own powers enough to do that, she could cause a lot of havoc in this city.
Why? Mercedes said.
If she can control the powers, shouldn't we be less worried about random people getting their wishes?
Armija spoke up with a thin, worried voice.
If she can use her own powers, she will react as a 5-year-old girl would. Instant gratification and impulse reactions to everything. If you want something, you wish for it. If you want something to go away...
Oh,
Mercedes said, covering her mouth with one hand.
I see. Which is why we can't send the police after her,
Armija continued.
What if she got scared and wished the entire police force into oblivion?
What if she wishes us into oblivion? Jim said. As I see it, that's also a possibility.
It is, Ruano said. But we're hoping that you'll be less threatening than a group of police officers. The girl's an orphan and has had very little contact with authority outside of the orphanage. A single person showing her kindness would probably be more inclined to earn her trust.
But we're still back to the big question. Do you have any ideas about how on earth we find a 5-year-old girl in this city, or where she might go?
Jim said.
In case you haven't noticed it, this isn't exactly Freeport, Kansas.
We realize that, but no, we have no way of knowing where she might go.
I suppose we'll notice if the police reports start piling up somewhere, but it would be better if we could search actively in a specific area.
Jim said.
Mercedes, any suggestions? You're the youngest one here.
Mercedes scratched her head.
Well, if I was a kid, I'd look for exciting things, bright lights, stuff like that.
So maybe Fisherman's Wharf? Plus, she's from Tucson, so she might not have seen skyscrapers before. It's all pretty much two-level houses down there.
That's a place to start.
Jim got up from his chair. How do we contact you if we find her, Mr. Ruano?
Ruano handed him a business card.
Here, my cell phone is on there, and I'll keep it with me. We will also be sending out our own people to search for her, of course. If anyone finds her, they call in to me, and I'll inform you.
Right. Mercedes, you'd better put the answering machine on. I think the more we're out there, the better.
Should I call Inspector Charles? He should be back from vacation by now, Mercedes said, as she got up from her chair as well.
No, I'll call him myself.
Ruano looked at her, but Jim explained.
Charles is a friend of mine on the force. Without drawing him and his department into the mess, we should ask him to let any reports of the unusual kind be relayed to us, in case something happens that will help us track down, what was her name again? You didn't say.
No, I didn't. Her name is Huyana.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.